Sefer Devarim contains one of the most impressive monologues, certainly in the Torah, and when judged by the content and the importance of the content, certainly the most important monologue in history. And it begins by announcing itself and its intent to deliver a monologue of words, Eilu HaDvarim Asher Diber Moshe. And the Medrash takes a step back to reflect upon this transformation of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he had been urged by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to release the Jewish people and to adopt or to accept this agency of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's very demure, and he tries to excuse himself in Perek Dalet of Shemos by claiming, Lo ish devarim anochi. I am not a man of words. Moshe Rabbeinu had a speech defect, aral svasayim kvad peh, so he feels that he is unsuited or ill, or incompatible with the mission which HaKadosh Baruch Hu suggests. And the Medrash highlights the contrast between Moshe Rabbeinu's initial status and initial condition of Lo Ish Devarim and his current position of Eilu HaDevarim Asher Diber Moshe. Now, there is a Medrash that talks about this contrast from a standpoint of humility, that when Moshe Rabbeinu speaks to Am Yisrael, he has to be aware of his verbal abilities and of his oratory skills. Yet when he looks at HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, when he interacts with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's much more humble and much more self, the feelings of inadequacy are much more prominent. And it's an important lesson, an important study in humility, not necessarily for today's Shia or today's view of the Medrash, about recognizing your talent and projecting your talent to human beings, but having your talents contextualized and thereby minimized when interacting in a more infinite and objective playing field or arena, certainly the one in which you stand with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the first Medrash in Medrash Rabbah speaks about the power, the healing power of Torah, that the reason that Moshe had transformed from Lo Ish Devarim into Eilu HaDevarim is because he has spent the last 40 years teaching Torah, delivering Torah, educating Am Yisrael with Torah, and somehow Torah has this rehabilitative or healing effect upon his speech, not just upon his physical body or his physical health. And to frame the power of Torah to heal speech, the Medrash quotes Psukim in Yechezkel. Yechezkel again describes in Perek Mem Zayin a very, very famous messianic river that begins to emerge in trickles from the Har HaBayis and grows in strength as it emanates and finally becomes this huge, raging river. And on either side, trees grow, very famous pasuk, v'haya periyo l'machal, v'aleu l'trufa, and Chazal see this as a reference not just to producing trees that have fruit or medicinal, but supernatural medicinal opportunities. And the language of the Medrash is a very interesting language. Anyone who is a bit speech impeded drinks from this water or eats from these trees. Lishono misrape, his tongue immediately is healed. Umitzachzacha miyad bedivrei Torah, and he becomes fluent in divrei Torah. Shekach ksiv mizeh umizeh. It's a reference in Yechezkel Mem Zayin mizeh umizeh, which cross links to Parshas Kitisa, which describes the Luchos as mizeh umizeh. Now, what's interesting is Rabbi Levi's comment. Rabbi Levi responds that this healing isn't dependent upon the messianic river that emerges, but can be achieved even in pre-messianic times, in our world, in our reality, through Torah. Rabbi Levi Amar, Ma lanu lilmod mimakom acher? Why must we wait for Mashiach and its supernatural rivers, Moshe Rabbeinu? Ad shelo zacha l'Torah, before he teaches Torah, lo ish devar manochi. Kivan shezacha l'Torah, nisrape l'shono. Once he receives Torah, then his tongue has been healed, he begins to speak, Eilu HaDvarim Asher Diber Moshe. So the Medrash, Levi doesn't articulate it in such clear terms, but the Medrash is describing the pre-messianic opportunities for Torah to heal someone's speech and to heal, again, not just their speech, but any bodily or medical illness. And what's interesting is to ponder whether this is purely metaphysical and supernatural, as is, let's say, the healing in Messianic times, where some supernatural river that emerges from the least likely place. Remember, Yerushalayim is a relatively dry climate, so this river isn't natural. It's not as if there's a river emanating from the mountains of the Golan or emanating from the Kinneret area. So this is clearly a divinely delivered supernatural river that heals. Is Moshe's healing process through Talmud Torah purely super rational and purely mystical? Or is there an element by which teaching Torah and engaging in the intricacies and the complexities of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, and the amount of effort and the amount of both emotional effort, cognitive effort, organization that it takes to understand Torah, which is so overwhelming, by definition, developmentally, lends a person greater eloquence, greater ability to organize their thoughts, to deliver their thoughts in a cogent fashion. Again, if Moshe Rabbeinu's speech impediment was partially physical, then Torah's effect would have to be supernatural. It's hard to imagine that prolonged experiences in Talmud Torah would have such a direct impact on a speech impediment, especially if it's very physical. But the degree that speech impediments are partially psychological and partially based on the ability to transfer and transition ideas from mental space into verbal articulation, just the amount of intellectual and emotionally intellectual experiences necessary to study Torah, the amount of care and interest is so overwhelming that if successfully navigated, it can lend that type of clarity and organization and structured thought that could release some of the more psychological elements of speech impairments and speech impediments. That's an interesting, it's an interesting medrash to consider when pondering the broad spectrum benefits of studying Torah. A lot of yeshiva bachrim in today's world who don't necessarily receive classic college degrees then proceed to very, very successful post-collegiate degrees and very successful professional careers, in many cases based on the skills that Torah study honed, that in many cases were equivalent or in some cases even surpassing of the skills that classic university-style education can hone. Not necessarily the knowledge and the information, but certainly the analytical skills. Why many yeshiva bachrim end up choosing the profession of law? It's very similar to the analytics of Gemara. But certainly, it's important for us to recognize the type of benefit that proper Torah study can convey. What's also interesting about this Medrash is the very beginning of the Medrash. The beginning of the Medrash talks about a different type of a healing. Bar Kappara says, based on the fact that a Torah can be written in any language, but the Rebbe Gamliel feels that a Sefer Torah can only be written in either Hebrew or Yavanis. And a very famous reason is because Rebbe Gamliel feels that Yavanis, or Greek, was a classic superior language as opposed to some of the other languages of the day. And this launches a general discussion about the interaction between Torah and other fields of study, which we would call civilization and culture, and in particular, in a linguistic sense. So Bar Kappara provides a very famous drasha based on the pasuk in Noach, in which Noach says, Yafta lukim li yafes, that Hashem should give beauty to the children of Yefes, amongst whom are Greeks and Romans and the progenitors of Western civilization, the Yishkon Be'ohalei Shem, but he should reside in the tents of Shem. So the simple reading of this pasuk is that Hashem will deliver a gift to Yefes, but will reside and interact personally with Shem. But Chazal Darshan, a very famous drasha, Sheyu Devarav Shel Shem Ne'emarim B'Lashonosav Shel Yefes, the content of Shem can be delivered through the language of Yefes. And therefore, in the narrow sense, a Sefer Torah can be written in Yefes' classic language of Greek. In a broader, figurative sense, the styles, techniques, and delivery methods of Yefes, honed in the case of Yefes, can be applied to delivering Torah. And this is a very, very important question. It's a subcategory of Torah Ramada. A lot of people discuss the value of secular studies, complementary. This is not about secular studies per se, although secular studies may be necessary to yield these tools. But it's about adopting tools outside of the Torah field to enhance and to enrich the delivery of Torah, whether they're oratory skills, whether they're analytic skills. So, for example, Reb Chaim of Brisk institutionalized and methodology of learning that had been obviously popular and latent and nascent for thousands of years. People knew it so well, they didn't have to articulate it. It was intuitive. But in the late 19th century, Reb Chaim began to institutionalize a style called the Brisker Derech, which many people feel is very scientific. It eliminates questions of why. It focuses on questions of what, of definitional questions. It establishes a field of vision before it begins the inquiry. What are we talking about? What are we not talking about? And for some people, they say this in a derisive term. It's a scientific method. Again, I think maybe certain branches of Brisk, I think the style we were taught, let's say, in the Gush Yeshiva, many people felt carried a tonality that sounded very scientific and academic, and it really was just trying to take Reb Chaim's articulations and teach them in a pedagogically sound fashion. And this medrash reminds us that there are techniques that are honed in the world of EFS that are applicable and helpful. I know on a personal level, I started employing the internet very early on as a Torah delivery mechanism before I think many people realized that it should and could be used that way. I think today it's probably obvious to everyone that internet, like all other technologies and media, are not good or bad, they're not evil or virtuous, they're just mediums, that media that could be used properly or abused. Mir Hashem, this week, there is a study at the Tanakh Study Week at Yeshivat Har Etzion in the Gush. There'll be 10,000 people attending. And I'm scheduled to give a shiur on Wednesday about Shir HaShirim. And I'm going to describe the manner in which Shir HaShirim is written in a literary style called stream of consciousness. It was a literary style which was popularized by early 20th century English authors, primarily James Joyce, not European authors, James Joyce and Virginia Woolf and Proust, and to some of it in Dostoevsky. And it's not omniscient narration where there's a narrator who knows everything, actions and thoughts, and it's not direct communication between the characters of the story. It's just the uninhibited, unconditioned, unrefined thoughts that flash through our mind, that move quickly from idea to idea, that are very genuine and authentic. And those of you who may have read Ulysses, it's written in that fashion. Those who read Mrs. Dalloway by Virginia Woolf, and I'm trying to demonstrate how Shir HaShirim really is written in that fashion. It's not a narration. There's no narrator. And a lot of the conversation between the male and the female are not really conversation. It's just stream of thought. And some level, many of the conversation is imagined in the mind of the woman. She imagines, Ana Dodiva Amarli, it's not clear whether the male is or isn't actually speaking, but she imagines it, and why is this written in that style? And it's certainly a style that I appreciate, having studied literature. So it's an important subset of the Medrash that, again, the language is Devarash Shel Shem Ne'amarim B'Lashonosav Shel Yefes. It isn't inappropriate to adopt content of Shein, but to adopt literary or other devices to better explain it, to convey in the language of Yefes. Obviously, I believe that Shir HaShirim was written in this well before James Joyce ever lived, but there's no question that James Joyce and Virginia Woolf did a better job in articulating this style than, let's say, the Chafetz Chaim and the Ohr Sameach, who, quite frankly, were busy with too many other things in their lives to write literature. And if we can detect important literary devices through secular authors, it may be helpful in accentuating Talmud Torah.